You are listening to the Stetson Students Podcast, where we post all of the series and messages from our student ministry. We are a ministry connected to Stetson Baptist Church, where we are for DeLand and for Jesus. If you would like to learn anything more about our ministries, please check out our social medias or go to StetsonBaptistChurch.org. Three of our series, Against the Grain. If you've been here, I'm going to give you a little refresher. If you haven't, you're going to hear it for the first time. But really what we've been talking about is this idea of what does it look like to go against the grain? First off, we talked about what does it mean to go against the grain? And really, we came down to the foundation of going against the grain is just another way of saying, I need to influence others and myself to Jesus and the better life he offers, right? It is to go against the grain is to influence others and myself to Jesus, to influence ourselves to Jesus and others to Jesus, and with it, the better life that Jesus offers. Week two, we kind of then unpacked, okay, well, if that's what we're supposed to do, the big question behind it all is, well, why should I do that? Why should I influence myself and others to Jesus and the life he offers? And we came down to because God is faithful. God is faithful towards us. He has been faithful towards us in so many great ways, of which the core one is through Jesus and what Jesus has done for us. And he has been faithful. So then we should be faithful, right? But now we walk into week three and you go, well, what's week three about? And really, as I was thinking through, man, what else do we need to talk about when we're walking through going against the grain? I don't know about you, like we can talk about what it looks like to go against the grain. We can talk about why we should go against the grain. But at the end of the day, can we just agree? It's hard. It's difficult. I don't know about you, but for me, life is hard sometimes. And not just life. Being a Christian is hard. And sometimes, I'm going to be honest, like sometimes I don't act the most Christian. Sometimes I have bad days. Sometimes, you know, sometimes honestly, a good day is when I only have a few bad moments. But if I'm honest, sometimes I have not just bad days, but bad weeks. Things kind of dwell in, life gets hard, and I have a bad week. I'm not going to lie, there's been times where I've probably had a bad month. If we're honest, there probably, if I looked back, there might have been some times I've had a bad year. Things get tough. Being a Christian, responding in the right way is hard because life is hard. Here's the thing, I don't think I'm alone. I don't think you're looking at me going, I don't know about you, Nate, it's easy. Being a Christian's easy. Because I think if we're honest, we all have a similarity. And to show this, I thought we'd play a little game. Can y'all play a little game with me? Cool, thank you. Have y'all ever heard of the game Never Have I Ever? All right, cool. We're going to play a certain version of that. It's not going to be Never Have I Ever. It's going to be I have ever. And I have done that maybe multiple times. To do this, this is what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you, A, to close your eyes. Okay, everybody, close your eyes. There you go. Close your eyes. Thank you. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to say something, and if it is true of you, all you got to do is raise your hand, okay? And keep your hand up. I'm going to go through a list of things, but if one of these things is true of you, raise your hand and keep your hand raised. I want you to raise your hand if you have ever failed a test. Again, no hand, no eyes up. I already see some eyes. You better put those eyes down. This is not a judgment zone. All right, what about this? Raise your hand if you have been... No, keep your hand up. Keep your hand up if that's true of you. Raise your hand if you have been grounded for anything. Grounded for anything. Maybe, and grounded from anything. Maybe it's your phone. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's going out. Maybe it's TV. Grounded from anything. Close your eyes. Eyes out. Eyes down. Eyes down. What about if you've ever felt left out by your friends? Keep your hand raised if you've ever felt left out. I love that some of y'all's hands, like I'm saying things and it's just getting, it's like raising like higher. What about this? What if you've ever lost a friendship? Keep your hand up, but raise your hand if you've ever lost a friendship. Here we go. What about this? Have you ever felt too busy or stressed out? Or keep your hand up. Everybody keep your hand up if anything is applied to you. What about this? Have you ever felt like, keep your hand up and also raise your hand if you've ever felt like your future was coming at you too fast. You just felt like things were coming at you too fast. Keep your hand up. Keep your hand up even if the other things were true of you. How about a more serious one? keep your hand up and raise your hand if you've ever had to deal with maybe your parents separating or ultimately divorcing. And then lastly, as you have your hands up, keep your hands up if any of those three. I know your hand's probably getting tired. Just keep it up. I promise this is the last one. Just raise your hand if you've ever had a bad day. Just a bad day. All right. Now open your eyes. Everybody look around the room. No, keep your hands up. Well, you'll notice everybody has their hand up. What does that mean? That means something of this was true of us all. It means we have a common problem, right? It means we understand that life is what? Hard. Life is hard. Moments are difficult. Days can be tough. We all experience this symptom of a hard time. And it's, listen, I knew that this would be true of you because it's a human thing. It's a common experience. We all are going, and let me tell you, it's not, it doesn't just go away because it's also a Christian thing. Let me get rid of a lie real quick. Just because you start to follow Jesus doesn't mean life gets easier. In some ways, as I've told you, sometimes it gets a little harder because you have to make the right decision even in the hard times. Really, the question that we're getting at and what we're seeing is, and what we want the answer to, is do I have to let the hard times win? We are going to have hard times. That's inevitable. That will happen. There will be another time in your life where you get sad or where something happens that you don't like. The question we have to answer is, do I have to let the hard times win or can I do something about it? Because the answer is there's no fix. But there is an answer. What I love about the Bible is the Bible talks about a lot of things, and this is one of them. So we're going to be in Acts 16 tonight. If you would like to take notes, which I highly recommend, raise your hand up. We will be bringing you a pad to take them on and a pen. We ask that you don't take notes on your phone because it's very easy to get distracted. And let's be honest, if they go on your phone, you're never going to look at them anyways. So this gives you something to write down and to engage with tonight. Acts 16. The Bible talks about it in a moment and talks about it in multiple places of this question of how do I not let the hard times win? One of them is in Acts 16 with our man, Paul. We've been talking about Paul sometimes throughout this semester. If you don't know Paul, let me introduce you to him. Paul is a follower of Jesus. He had this revolutionary and amazing and climactic turn away from walking in sin to walking with Jesus. And he then wrote most of your New Testament. There are letters of how he is helping other Christians follow Jesus. And Acts is actually a story that follows Paul through his journey as well. So Acts is the story. It tells us how the church started, and it gives us a little info into Paul's transformation into a Christian, and then also walks with Paul as he starts introducing other people to Jesus. And one of these take place in Acts 16, where he and a man named Luke are walking. In your Bible, it might seem his name might be Silas. He would later become Luke, and they're walking, and they're actually going from place to place, sharing the gospel, sharing the good news of Jesus. Then there comes this girl, and she kind of comes up to him, and it says that she was demon possessed. Anybody demon possessed tonight? No, I'm just kidding. Listen, they don't pay me enough for that. No, I'm just kidding. So this girl is demon possessed, and she walks up to Paul and Luke, and it says that the demon realized who they were, and he starts to mock them. The demon starts to mock Paul and Luke. He starts to come up and he starts to say things like, "Oh, these are the people that are going to tell us about Jesus. These are people that are going to save you. They know the Most High." I think about this. Anybody got siblings in the room? Yeah, y'all ever have a sibling that like points a finger like this close to your face and then just says, and you say what? "Stop, don't touch me." And they go, "I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you." So All right. Quiet down. So what are they doing? They're telling you the truth. They're not touching you, but they're doing it in a way to mock you. They're doing it in a way to get under your skin. Same thing's happening with this girl. The demon is trying to get under Paul and Luke's skin. And it says she did this for days. She followed them around for days doing this thing. Can you imagine that? Just imagine I mean, I know what the next move is. They say, I'm not touching you, and you punch them in the stomach, right? Like, no, that's what you want to do. So Paul and Silas are dealing, Paul and Luke are dealing with this for days on end, moment after moment. They're watching this happen. And finally, Paul snaps. And the way that he snaps is he looks at the demon and he says, get out of her. Go. Leave. And the demon listens. And so I didn't tell you about this girl is sadly in this part of the world, slavery was still a thing and she was a slave. You know why she was a slave? Because the demon allowed her to tell the future. It's crazy. So this person owned her as a slave and would use her talents to be able to tell the future. And he'd use it as like a party trick. He would make money from it. And so he learns that this girl had lost her powers. And so he gets mad and he goes and he has Paul and Luke put in prison. But before any of that, he actually has them beaten up. They literally beat them to a pulp. And then they're imprisoned. As we step out of the story, you have to question and wonder, was this the demon's whole purpose? Did he want Paul and Luke imprisoned? Did he want them off the streets? I think the answer is most likely yes. This is a very side note, but I need you to hear this. Your story has a villain. We read it about in the Bible and we go, well, this makes sense. But how often do we look in our own lives, in our own scenarios, in our own situations where things just don't work out the way we want them to work out? When do we question what the enemy is doing in that moment? How often do we question and understand the enemy wants you to respond poorly? He wanted Paul to flip out. He wanted Paul in prison because that got him off the streets. That got him in prison where he's not sharing the gospel. But a beautiful thing is God can even use moments like this. God can work even in moments like this. We pick up in verse 25. They're in prison. It says, about midnight, Paul and Silas, again, that's Luke, were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. Pause. So these men, they were beaten to a pulp. Unjustly, for no reason other than doing a good action. And they're imprisoned, taking their freedom away, knowing that probably the next step could be death. And what do? Well, they curse at God, right? They cry. They make other people, they talk down to each other. They blame each other. Silas, this is your fault. But no, Paul, this is your fault. No, that's not what the Bible tells us, right? No. They pray. They worship God in the midst of it, in the midst of their trial, in the midst of the hard time, they turn to God. And it says this in verse 26, as we continue on. It says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bonds were unfastened. Boom, God intervenes. God comes in, he says, man, I hear you praying, I hear you worshiping, be free. You know what happens? Paul and Silas, they kick out the door, they grab swords, they go kill their captors, they flip out on everybody, everybody cheers, they go, and the whole town's saved. Isn't that crazy? Live happily ever after. Great story, man, right? Great story. That's not the story of today. Sorry. I know. That's honestly, can we just be honest? In Nate's Bible, that's Nate's story. That's what I want to hear, right? I want to hear them tackling the opportunity that God just gave to them. But that's not a transformational story. And that's not the story of today. Verse 27 says, when the jailer woke and saw the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. He was going to, you know what he was doing? He was going to kill himself because he thought, this is going to be a less terrible death than what I'm going to suffer when they realize that all the prisoners are gone. This will at least be a quick death for me. 28. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." They didn't escape. They stayed. They stayed in the same prison where they were beaten. They stayed in the same prison where they had their freedom taken from, in the same prison where they don't know what their future holds. I just want to take a step into Nate's Bible real quick. Because can I tell you, Nate's Bible, the next verse is, "And God spoke to them and said, 'You morons, I let you go. I gave you the way out. You prayed to me, you worshiped me, and I opened the gates for you. Take a sign, dum-dum.'" But we're not in Nate's Bible. We're not in Nate's Bible because God is so much smarter than Nate. Because God knew what Paul and Silas knew, that even in the toughest of times, there is an answer. There's an answer because they stayed. And when they stayed, the prison guard came around. It says he turns on the lights and he looks in there and he sees that they aren't lying, that every single prisoner stayed. And so he runs up to Paul and he asks this question, verse 30. He says, he then brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Paul, Silas, I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what God you worship. I don't know what's happened. But your God was able to open every gate, undo every shackle. And in the midst of that, you had the peace and the goodness enough to stay. What must I do to have that? What do I have to do to have that joy, to have that peace, to have that goodness? Man, it's a great story. But I don't want it to be a great story. I want it to be a transformational one. And in order to do that, we have to look and see, where are we in story? I think a lot of the times we'd like to puff ourselves up and say, well, we're Paul and Silas. We're Paul and Luke. We are tackling the storms. We are seeing the hardships and we're walking through it saying, God's above it all. We're looking back on our hard times and saying, God got me through it. But I think if we're honest, I think if I'm honest, and a lot of the time, I'm the guard. I'm the guard. I'm the one that looks at a situation and I see the grimness and I see what the future leads to. And I see the pain that could come my way and I want out. But I look at others and I go, what do you have? Where do you get what you get? In a sense, we're all sitting here asking the question, Paul, Luke, how do I not let my hard times win? How do I not let the tough times take over? How do I not let my circumstances control me? And as he says to the prison guard in his answer, we say with him, no matter how hard times get, choose the Jesus way. No matter how hard the situation is, the circumstance, how grim, whatever it looks like, choose the Jesus way. Hear me. No matter the grade that you get, no matter the grounding that takes place for whatever you did wrong, no matter the gossip that is said against you from your best of friends, no matter the breakup that takes place between the person you thought you were going to marry, no matter the game that you were supposed to score 30 in and you scored 2 or you didn't even play, no matter the anxiousness that takes place in your heart from the moments of decision after decision after decision, no matter the separation that you feel from your parents as they separate from each other, no matter the thoughts of sadness and depressiveness to the situations you go through. Choose to respond the way that Jesus has responded for us. Choose to respond the way that Jesus responded for us and to us. Hear me say this. Jesus never owed me, you, us, anybody, anything. Jesus could have stayed up in his ivory castle in heaven and never came down. But he did. He came down with the knowledge and understanding that he would have to go through the toughest of times. He would have to go through every single hard time, temptation, feeling worthlessness, whatever it is, he went through it, and it's tougher for him because he couldn't fail. And he didn't fail. He chose to take on the toughest of times, the hardest of situations, the worst of circumstances for you. Choose to respond the way Jesus responded. I said this earlier, man, it's not easy. And I, nor Jesus, nor anybody promised that it would. Because you know what? It leads to you having to do a lot of things that maybe you don't want to do. Because what you want to do is what you want to do. But sometimes following Jesus is saying no to that. Jesus, in other places in Matthew and the Gospels, would actually describe the way that he chose to respond as a narrow gate. He would say, hey, there's a wide gate, which is to respond the same way everybody responds, to respond the world the way the world responds, to respond the way that you think is okay, the way that you want to. But it leads to destruction. In other words, it's not worth it. It doesn't get you where you want to get. It doesn't give you peace and joy in the worst of circumstances. It lets your circumstances define what peace and joy looks like for you. Instead, he looks at us and says, there's a narrow road. There's a narrow gate. Few will choose it. But I promise it's the better choice. And it's the choice that leads to not letting your hard times win. It's the better choice for ultimately a better life. It's the better choice for a better life, a life where you get to stand strong and triumphant regardless of the circumstance, regardless of how your family is, regardless of how your friends are doing, regardless of how your school is doing, your team is doing, your whatever is doing, regardless of all that, you get to stand and triumph knowing that Jesus has saved you from it all. And that you get to lean on him. You get to, rest in him. You get to choose the Jesus way. And don't we want that? Don't you want a better life? Don't all of us want a better life? And that's what's offered. Not an easier life, a better one. Man, what would it look like? What would it look like if everybody in this room chose the Jesus way? Seriously, think about it. Imagine it. What difference could you make? What difference would happen in this community? What difference would take place in our schools? What difference would take place at our homes? In this moment, it's very easy for me to look at you, you to look at me, you to look at your friends, you to look at anybody else and say, man, that's awesome. That's great. I love that for you. But not for me. No, no, no. For me, that's too hard. You don't know what I'm going through. For me, I can't do that. I would love to, maybe another time, but I got to get through this first. Guys, it starts with us. It starts with me. It starts with you. It starts with this room. I'm telling you, it's not only the better way for you, it's the better way for everyone. It's not only the better way for me, it's the better way for us. Oh.
Thank you for listening. We hope you have a great week and that you are a light for Jesus. Grace and peace.